you have kept my command to persevere. I will also make you keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You know, there is one of the many promises that we will not undergo the wrath of God. Amen. Isn't that great? Because when the Lord, we're going to read in Revelation as we go on, when he starts sending the wrath upon earth, we're already gone. I believe in the rapture. I believe that we will be called up before he sends his punishment to earth for unbelief. Why would he repunish his son? And we are children of God Most High. You know, we will not have to undergo the wrath of God. Just to show you a few quick verses that also prove that. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Are we children of disobedience? We might disobey, but we're still children of God, you know? So we will not have to undergo wrath. And that's a promise that he is saying to the church of Philadelphia. And verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar. And this is where we're going to start to really zoom in here. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I will write on him my new name. Aren't you glad that he has chosen you? You belong to him. We have his name written all over us. We also learned about the church of Pergamum when it said that, you know, we will receive a white stone with our new name written on it. The church of acquittal. Meaning we are innocent before him. You know, in a court they said, you know, if it was the white stone, you're found not guilty, you know. And we're going to receive that white stone with our new name written on it. Our new creation, the new identity in Christ. But he says we are a pillar, where he is going to make us a pillar. You know, when you think of pillars, you know, and you think of like pillars in the community, maybe you think of this town, Andy Sheckley. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Those of you Lansdalians. But anyway, the mayor of Lansdale, he's a really nice guy too. He's really, really a cool guy. But I would think of him. We've met him many times out on the street. You probably don't even know him. He's so down to earth. And you just talk to him. He actually visited here when we had a block party with CEF. Remember that, Gail, wherever you are? You know, we had that CEF, and there he is walking around. I'm like, there's the mayor. Where? That guy right there. Where? The guy I'm bumping into? Yeah, he's the mayor. Like, he just walks around like, you know, any old guy. And he's like, I would think of him as like a pillar of the community, you know, or that police chief who just retired. You know, he's been here for years and years and years. You know, a pillar of the community. I've had a great honor to know pillars in the community. I once had this New Jersey office, and this real estate guy there, who was at the time probably 80-something, he finally went home to be with the Lord. He was a believer. But wherever he walked, hey, Russ. I mean, like, he was Merchantville, New Jersey. When you think of Merchantville, you think of Russ, because he's been there forever. His character, his ethics, his business practices, you just think that he is a pillar of Merchantville. And everyone knew him. When I'd go to the diner with him, we'd have, you know, lunch, I'd go in with him, and they would just, he wouldn't even ask. They would put what he wanted in front of him, you know. And this is Russ, and I'm with Russ, you know. Me and Russ are tight, you know. Because he was a pillar of the community, because of his ethics, his character. On Friday, I was up with another pillar of the community. I went to Dunkin' Donuts and got coffee with Pete Ramos, and he's my buddy, and he's, You know, just everyone knows him. He's been there 40-some years in Bethlehem. You know, he's seen the rise and fall of Bethlehem Steel and the, you know, and there he is. His business just continues and his ethics, raising his family in the town. And they just know him. He's a pillar of the community, you know. Well, in the church, there's pillars. You know, there's pillars. And when Paul was writing about the pillars in the church, if you could put that verse up there, when he spoke about James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had given to me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they too, and they to the circumcised. I think there's a, anyway, but I'm not reading that right. You read it. But they were pillars, and they gave them the right hand. They encouraged them. If God is leading you, because Peter already knew what it was like. Maria was already at Cornelius' house. And he knew, yeah, God is definitely calling the Gentiles. If the Lord is leading you to that, Paul, go do it. We support you. Reach higher. We're pillars. You're going to be a pillar too. We could see you are a pillar in the church family. Reach higher, Paul. Reach the Gentiles. If that's your calling, we support you in every way to reach higher. And he also wrote to Timothy, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the church is. It's the pillar. In fact, I remember hearing Andy, the mayor, he said, you know, people were saying, so what can we do to help you, help the government, you know, support? And he goes, you know what? I would like to see the government do less. And you're like, whoa, you're speaking my language here. Because there used to be a time in every town that the church was the biggest building in the town. Now it's the government building. And he said, you could tell I didn't vote for that new monster in Lansdale that cost mega millions of dollars for this small town, this government building. Because people are looking to government to supply their needs instead of the church. He said, I would like to see us do less in terms of the government and see what happens. People would run to the faith. I need help. And they would receive it. But they would also receive the eternal help they need, you know? The church is to be the pillar of every society. But the government has really pushed us out of the way, you know? Again, the enemy uses every type of principality, power, and authority to push Jesus out of the way. And so we're to be pillars in our environment, you know? And when I think about this pillar, it's so funny because I was thinking about who have been my pillars in my life, you know? And first of all, Jill's parents, Ron and Jackie, when they led me to this banquet, and I was unsaved, and I went to this banquet, and, you know, I was hearing this guy talk, and the more he talked, the more it made sense. And he said, if you want to receive Jesus today, and I said, you know, I'm going to do it. I didn't stand, didn't raise my hand, didn't do any of that. So I'm like most people, you know, kind of embarrassed and all that. But I did pray that day. But right out the door, I started doubting. I started struggling and everything else. And yet I saw these pillars in my life, the pillars of the church, Jill's family, and a lot of her family were saved. I saw these pillars, but I was still struggling. I had so many questions. And then I met my brother, Scott Mitchell, who's here today. You know what's so funny? This message was planned since yesterday morning. It came to me, who's been my pillar? Of course, Scott popped into my mind. Because I haven't had tons, you know, except you guys who just support. But I mean, like, really have me see my calling, you know, in a sense. But I knew this. And then all of a sudden, Jill tells me, when? Last night? Scott and Lisa are coming tomorrow. I'm like, what? Like, whoa! That's God, once again, in action, right? And so, but I was thinking about it because back then, Scott and Lisa were just pillars in our marriage, pillars in our walk, because I had so many doubts, so many struggles, but I just started hanging out with Scott, And I said, Scott, you know, let's meet. And he's like, so we would meet every week, every Friday morning. We would just go through things. I'd have my wrinkled up piece of paper. I'd unfold. Right, here's my problem with the Bible. Let me just lay it out right here. And I'd have all these, you know, things. And we would talk, pray through it. But he was just such a brother. And he led me also to reach higher in knowing the Word. Because I had to work through all these things I thought were contradictions. I'm telling you, there are none. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. Because if you think there are, you're being lazy. Because you really haven't reached past them and dug deeper. The more you dig into the Word, it's like, wow, it all makes sense. It's so perfect, the Word of God, you know? But he had me reach higher in things that, you know, I knew the Lord already blessed me with to use them to bring God glory, just to reach higher. And that's what the Lord wants us to be, pillars in one another's life, to reach higher, to touch that ceiling of our calling, you know? Because, you know, you think about a pillar. What are pillars for? They're to hold up structures is one thing, right? To hold up structures. Have you ever been in an old basement and you're walking around? I go in a lot of them, you know, in real estate and stuff. But I'm in this basement, and you ever go through a basement, all of a sudden you realize this I-beam is holding up the floor, but there's only one metal pole that's actually touching. The other ones are inches shorter. You're like this whole thing is resting on that? That's scary. Okay, let me get out of here, okay? Because somehow they all sank, okay? And you think it's not safe for one pillar to be holding everything up. And sometimes we think so much about ourselves that we keep trying to get higher and higher in the Lord. We're forgetting about everybody else around us. We need everyone to rise higher in the Lord. In fact, that's brotherly love, is to seeing everyone reach their highest potential in the Lord, to reach the ceiling of their calling. You know, that should be what all of us, we should all have ears to say, well, I could see you're like really gifted at that. I wonder how you could plug in, what you can plug into. You know what? It's just like, it's that interest in one another that helps each of us rise higher to our calling. Because it's dangerous when there's only one person carrying everything. Moses knew this. You remember when they're in the wilderness and Israel just kept on complaining about the food, about the water, about the conflicts out there and so forth. And so when they're complaining about manna, and finally Moses said, you know what, if this is, I can't take all this pressure. I can't carry this nation on my own. If this is what you had, just take my life now, because I just can't take it anymore. And so God said, okay, this time tomorrow, I'm going to come down and I'm going to give the spirit I gave to you to the 70 elders. And so the spirit came down, and all the elders but two of them came to the tent of meeting and waited for that Shekinah glory cloud to come down. And the spirit, he spoke to Moses, and then he spread his spirit amongst the 70 elders. And they all started prophesying, except for two. Eldad and Medad stayed in their own camps for some reason. We don't know why, what their issue was. You know, I'm not going there. That's too much unity over there. But they stayed out for whatever reason. But they still got hit with the Spirit, you know, and they're prophesying. And all of a sudden, this young man runs to Moses. He says, you know, the two guys, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in their own camps. And Joshua, his sidekick, his protege, said, Lord, stop them. And he says, are you zealous for my sake? He says, I wish all of Israel prophesied. I wish all of Israel was filled with the same spirit. I wouldn't have to do all this work, he's probably thinking. But no, really, because I want everyone to experience. I want everyone's faces to glow. I want everyone to know God face to face like I know him. That should be all of our desires, to see everyone reach higher, to reach our ceiling of our calling. That's real brotherly love, to see everyone. Because, you know, when one of us does well, we all do well. We really do. It was so awesome. I don't know if you're on WhatsApp, but you should get on it. It was so cool. Yeah, I mean, the Lord, it's been a carry blessing. This the carries, George and Gail, really carried the glory this week. But it was just so cool because, if you know, George took in this guy from Singapore because he's a cyclist and he has this, what's it called, showers? What is it? My ears. Warm showers. But it's this thing where you take in strangers. So this guy from Singapore happens to be staying in their house, and George is giving him the gospel. Is that an open door? That's an open door to Singapore. That rhymes. Really? But no, it really is. It's like, wow, their home is an open door, you know? And he didn't accept them yet, but he heard. Amen. And then then Maddie meets this lady on a porch or something this week, right, Maddie? Where are you? Sorry, somewhere. But anyway, she left. But she met this lady, and she was sharing with her about God and about this church and all that. And so she gave her my phone number, and then I get this call, and I listen to it, and it's like, I need a ride to the hospital. So I'm up in Bethlehem, like I just told you. So I'm like, so I call her. I can't get down there right now. I said, but what's going on? My mom, she's getting a kidney transplant or something, and she's in the emergency room and all this, and I can't get there and all this. So I just put out on WhatsApp. I said, can someone go get this lady? This is her name. Here's her phone number and all this. And I just had this gut feeling that Gail was going to reply. I just knew it. I swear, I'm not kidding you. And all of a sudden, Gail says, I already called her. I'm picking her up. I'm like, wow. It's like the open door. The open door. I mean, we're all such a part of this thing together. It's amazing when we see ourselves, like Dave prayed this morning, we all have a role to play. And, you know, fruit's always low-hanging in the kingdom. It's always right there in front of you if you're looking. Sometimes we are looking for the Africa trip or the Turkey trip, or it's right in front of us. It's all around us. And he has an open door for Lansdale Life Church to make an impact for him. And Moses understood this. I can't carry this on my own. You're not supposed to, Moses. You know, we see this principle played out by Jesus when John, the guy who wrote this book of Revelation in the Spirit, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, we saw a guy casting out demons in your name, and I forbade him. And he says, you did what? And he says, don't forbid him. Anyone who is not against us is for us. Help them reach higher. Support them in their calling. They're called to that. Don't forbid them. Remember when the disciples saw these little children running to Jesus? No, no, they rebuked the parents. He's too important for the little kids. And Jesus was so displeased. That you have to receive me like a little child. They might be little pillars now, but they're growing taller and taller. They are the future generation of pillars that are going to be holding things up. You know, it's so important that we encourage one another to reach higher. And the sons of thunder, when they're going through the town of Samaria, and they wouldn't receive Jesus. And the sons of thunder, James and John, says, should we call down fire from heaven and just torch them, God? Please, 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 give me the power to do that, you know? And it's like, and first of all, Elijah never did that. He didn't burn people up with fire. Elisha did that, actually. But anyway, but Jesus said, no, what spirit is that? That is, you don't know what spirit you're even speaking from. He said, I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You know, it's so important for us to be a pillar for one another, supporting one another. You know, people in my life, when I saw them touching their calling, I want to reach higher. I want to touch. I want to touch my calling. I want to reach higher. We can inspire one another to reach higher for our calling. You know, we said that pillars are meant to hold things up. But, you know, pillars are also meant to adorn entrances, to adorn doorways, and to adorn gateways. And we see this principle, you know, in the tabernacle, there were lots of pillars. But in the temple, Solomon's temple, there were no pillars but two in the front doorway. And they didn't even touch the ceiling. They were just there to adorn the entrance. And if you have that picture, Rebecca, of the two pillars, and those pillars, they had names, believe it or not. On the right was Jachin or Jachin, and the left was Boaz. You remember the name Boaz from Ruth? But the right one was Jachin, and the left was Boaz. And Hebrew, you read right to left. So the Lord will establish. In him is speed and strength. And you can even like summarize that. The Lord will establish his speed and his strength. So everyone who went in the doorway of the temple would remember, my strength is in the Lord. And whatever he wants to bring about, he will bring it about with speed and strength. It won't always be the timing I wished, but whatever he wants done, if I surrender, I will have it immediately for that time and season. And it was a constant reminder with speed and strength. You know, the Lord wants supernatural growth in your life. He really does. You know, it wasn't his plan that Israel would wander through the desert for 40 years, an 11-day trip, and even if they waited for, you know, when the word would be given, so it would follow in line with Pentecost, even that's 50 days, right? It wasn't supposed to take 40 years. You know, that was man's rebellion that took so long. Sometimes we're not where we wished we would be because of our rebellion. He wants supernatural growth. Remember in the Garden of Eden, there are four rivers that ran through the Garden of Eden, and it watered the land. And the names of the rivers, if you have that slide, were the Pisan, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. But what they mean is increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. That's the land Adam and Eve lived in. That's an abundant soil, isn't it? When you have four rivers named that running through it. I mean, that's the soil he wants us to live in, to be rooted in. He wants supernatural growth in your life. And sometimes if we keep feeling stagnant and stable and things aren't really happening in our life, it's because of our own rebellion, not because of his plan. Amen? And so, in closing, we've talked about a doorway being open. We've talked about pillars. And if the band could come up now. And a combination of this, we see this with these two pillars, which means he will establish his strength in your life. That's what he wants to do in your life. And we're to be that doorway to God, that when they see, wow, look at those pillars. You know, they're inviting. Look how filled with joy they are. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Look how much joy they have through thick and thin. They have joy in the Lord. I want to enter through that doorway. Isn't it a shame in Matthew we see Matthew 7, 13 or 14, we see that Jesus said, you know, enter through the narrow gate, because wide is the gateway that leads to destruction, and many go through it. But narrow is the way to Jesus. You know, that's not by his design. He didn't make a narrow gateway. And who's that doorway now? It's us. We're the pillars. We're the entranceway. We're the gateway to Jesus, really. He has assigned us with that task to be the open door to Jesus. And he wants that door wide open. You know, wide open. Don't you love Easy Pass? You know, you just fly right through the turnpike. You know, you're watching all those poor suckers waiting in line at the toilet. And you're just like, you know, cop, whoa, slow down. But But you just go through easy pass because it's wide open and you have that easy pass. But don't you hate when it doesn't work? That ever happened to you? And then you get the ticket's going to be coming. I got to go prove it, you know? We make things tough for ourselves sometimes, you know? But he has already paved the way. He has already made it easy for us to go through. And we need to encourage others to enter through his gateway. It doesn't need to be narrow. But he is narrow. It's just one way. There's only one way to enter. He is the one way. He is the way, one truth. He is the one life. It's Jesus. People are trying to find so many other avenues for salvation. And there's only one way. It's Jesus. So maybe that might seem narrow-minded to the world. But once you know him, you realize how wide open it is. Why wouldn't everyone do this? It's so wonderful. It's so free. I don't have to try anymore because he's done it all. And he really has made the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Lansdale, Lansdale Life Church, he has made us that doorway to salvation, you know? And we need to be the pillar that welcomes people in. You know, you think you're messed up on drugs? He will establish strength in your life to overcome drugs. You think you have a past, a family history of abuse and all this stuff that you just can't get over, he will establish strength to get you through that, to see the joy of your salvation. You think you're just tired of having this health condition, he will establish strength in your life. And if you're meant to be healed, you will be healed in Jesus' name. And if the Lord has allowed that thorn in your side to remain, he will cause you to rejoice because when you are weak, he is strong. He will establish strength in your life. He will establish the strength to overcome. We need to be those pillars that just welcome people and come on in. I'm Boaz. I'm Jachin. And he will establish strength in your life. And you know, for us pillars who are holding things up, just encourage everyone to touch the ceiling of their calling. Whatever the Lord is calling them to, just reach higher. Touch him and reach where he's calling you to reach. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you that you have called us to reach higher. You've called us, Lord God, to motivate and encourage one another to reach places that we've never reached before, Lord God. To be an open door to the world that they would find you. We thank you, Lord, that you have made this church of little strength so significant even in the world and also in this little town called Lansdale. And Lord, as we pray and sing out to you, we lift you so high, Lord God. We lift you higher than we ever have before, because when we lift you high, you bring us up to where you are, Lord God. And we want to touch you in Jesus' name, amen.